April 7th, 2014, it is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Исторические минуты, когда космический корабль «Восток» совершал свой полет с первым человеком-космонавтом Юрием Алексеевичем Гагариным над нашей планетой, между Землей и космическим кораблем была установлена двухсторонняя радиосвязь.
Watt from Pedro Show, though I am not in Pedro. I am in Ecury, France, and along with Tom Watson, Raul Morales, my missing man, I've completed a continent of Europe, southern Europe, and western parts, tour of a hyphenated man. And we weren't alone. We had tour companions, guess what? From England and from Belgium, Alia, and the man behind Alia, Nicholas, is here with me now. Welcome on the show, Nicholas.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We started off the gig with John Coltrane doing blues to Bechet, which is Sidney Bechet, the guy who got him on soprano sax, and then guess what, with Earth is Blue. What's your earliest memory of music?
My first one? My earliest?
Yeah.
We have to tell my English is not so good, so I'm going to ask good. You to repeat some things. My earliest is the old one, the oldest one, or
you
the last
youngest
one?
Youngest man.
Yeah.
So
the first one, I think, was when my grandmother asked me, teach me to play the flute.
Yeah. And about how old?
Yeah, during the holidays. And after I go to school and play the flute, not as bad as the other. Not good, but not so bad. And
when was
of success. Yeah, I think I was 7 or 8.
7 or 8, okay.
Yeah,
so you're in grade school.
Yeah.
And you play the flute.
I played the
flute. How'd you get into the flute? Did you pick it? Or was it your grandma's idea?
My grandma's, yeah.
So we got her to thank, because she got you going with
I was a small boy, very, very shy. And it was kind of first time I remember people listened to me during the playing of the flute. No, nobody is talking at the same time of me, and it was a good remember. So
yeah.
Maybe that's the way I started to play music, I think.
And what did you do? Did you continue with flute?
No, because it's kind of boring.
Okay.
And I finally started to play the drums.
How did you get into drums?
my grandmother again for my birthday, offered me drums. I asked for drums, and because I was interested by progressive rock, my father was listening to, and punk rock, which I was listening with my friends.
About how old when you decided drums?
I think 10.
10?
10, yeah.
Okay.
And
why drums and not guitar or bass? I mean, you ended up
Because of energy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And finally, a few years later, I decided to continue more to learn music and go to study music and harmonies and that kind of stuff.
Go to school?
Yeah, but no instrument, only theory.
Right.
But I was not understanding anything because I don't play instrument who can play harmonies.
Right, because drums are percussion.
Yeah, so I started to play guitar just to understand at the beginning my lessons, and finally continue with the guitar and forget the drums.
And you left the drums behind. When's this? Like high school days?
I started that thing at 14.
Yeah. Oh, junior high. Okay.
Finished at 20.
Okay, because I know you as a solo guitarist, and you know what? Let's listen to some music and then come back, and you're gonna play for the people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
From Pedro Show, we just heard, well, Lolly Ann does not title their tunes, so we can just call that a Lolly Ann untitled tune that was done on April 7, 2014 here in Ecury, France. Very good job, Nicholas. Before that, we heard, guess what, doing Vostok Tango. Mika Markovich Jazz Band with Opsiani 18. Rainbow Thunderclap ahead of that. Hysterical Injury. Waterboy by Claire Rockmore in front of that. And we started with Hura Yuri by Guess What. Okay. So you start using the guitar to help you with your studies and with your theory of music at school. And you know, are you performing at this point?
No. At the end, when I was something like 18, I started to compose music more seriously than I was doing a teenager with punk rock bands. And I started to really compose music on the paper, with scores on paper, and not really thinking about the guitar, just composing.
Just music, pure.
And of course, nobody wants to play it, so I have to play to find ways of guitar, ways of playing with the guitar.
Yeah.
And that's the following of my learning of the guitar, just trying to play pieces I wrote,
right,
not for guitar.
To bring them to the listener, to the ears.
Yeah.
Okay, what was that like? Was it scary? Because you were hearing this stuff in your head.
Yeah.
You didn't hear it as guitar music.
No. And it was kind of funny. I wasn't expecting to play it on stage or not. It was just to have fun in my room.
Sure.
And at last, friends told me, "Oh, you should try to play it on stage."
Do you remember your first gig?
Yeah, I remember it very well. I had a 45-minute set of music and played it on 30 minutes because of stress. And that was the beginning of the joke with my fast playing.
Oh, because you do have an intense attack.
Yeah.
Did you always play with a pick?
Yeah. With a bass pick.
Whoa.
It's a very big one.
Yeah. You never did the finger thing. Okay.
No.
Okay. What about the recordings? How did that happen? How did that come about?
The very first one was a friend. I didn't want to record my first tune because I was thinking it's not good enough to be on a record. But a friend of mine who had a label called Les Potagers Nature in Bordeaux, France, asked me to have it for archive. And And at last, there is an album. And after that, my other compositions were going on albums. Well, I was thinking the composition to make a current album.
Yeah, yeah. The first Lallier album, right?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
2011, maybe.
Okay. Okay.
I think we recorded it on 11 and it comes out on 12.
Was all the tunes done, one session?
Yeah, quite, except of the, I have a 25-minute one, which was impossible to record on one session because we recorded in a church, and there was that bell, which we can't turn out, and we have only 30 minutes, only 26 minutes because of the resonance, which was staying in the room.
Yeah.
And we have two short things to record that long song, so we have two parts.
Wow.
Regarding it.
Wow. Touring. You started touring, right?
Yeah.
With that album?
I stopped touring before that album first semi-project, yeah.
And how can you compare the band situation with playing by yourself on a guitar?
It's not the same. The thing is, I'm kind of adventurous about playing gigs because I try to play classical guitar and in venues which don't used to have classical guitar,
right.
Without a PA and just with my small amp and playing in not on the stage, usually on different parts of the room. And sometimes, if example, I play at a jazz festival, it's a lot of people are very listening and it could be nice, but I'm not, I play technical things but not jazzy technical things,
right.
So sometimes it doesn't work. It depends on the audience, and the day after that I'm going in a very rock venue and with people drinking a lot of beers during my playing, and sometimes it's magic and it works and sometimes it don't work anymore. It don't work at all. But it's kind of funny to play the same tunes in very different places and different audiences, because I can play I know, for example, in rock venues I play all the energetic things more than the small things.
Sure.
And the opposite in a jazz venue, for example. And it's nice on a tour to have different kind of venues like that.
Yeah.
So one day I play the song very softly and the day after very energetic. But it's the same on the paper, it's exactly the same. And that's good for having big tours, playing so many different things.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear some more music.
You know, whatever is like bulging gauze, birds cry vainly, verging insanely to chirp and caw, crinkling cawed, as wet skies are folded, and wrapped and felled, for furious feathers are such a flimsy thing. Raw like magazines, exuding from the formulating miasma, walkingly zombies cut into cartoons right before my eyes. I'm sized not quite right, exclaims the one-lit handful, flicking back high her coned coiffure with manic press-ons. Oh, baby doll, your bland rippage spoils the view. The blues, scenes of high-priced coffee spilled, still stains the same. Momentarily black like a sponge, a fungus slack supposes. Wonder whether we're spoils of those heads. Them chunks sure flew. Sidewalks pressed gum into your hair, spat on it hard. We say, but canvas shoes intervene, red logo aglets most shopped for. I'll buy bye-bye bites by bedtime. Just leave like trees today. Your autumn ought to moan meandering, winds all worn. Tense and terse thoughts were torn. Hands wrung over veins, padded from pent-up DNA. Dealt parlayed purples of waxy gaze, shifting green neon grabs through thought-up, focusing eyes. 20 tall letters to burn red politely scream some name. Who cares if it wears stentorian disdain? No one knows. Who'll sniff out the truth? Even if tattooed holes win out over mouths, hanging hard with chains of doubt, lame club handshakes of the face, their punctures daft junctures for messy housefuls of bad taste. So, like the lonely leaves off junk food gut blast shoved in, extrapolated past reason, the seasoning just gives right in. Must we paddle through puddles of maddening mud holes, or will someone's mommy merely menstruate it clean? Torn jeans, their seams smeared like queens, she's royal it seems. Trying not to look, but hooked like bait. I mirror her inner terror, no sinner or sharer of guilt, she of herd-like shopping and sales, is spelled C R hazy. Why? Crazy scared if caught unaware, a slickness shared our vanities bared, shining shame under a sun, glimpses that glimmer of wench-like wincers, hefty hips have begun, to stir my boiling cauldron of bull sauce, for legacy or mostly for fun. Ears that cup and drink dribbling drafts of juicy gossip and scorn. Sunny buds spat robotic heartbeats out otic sluices around the streets. Not from trees, but from grief filtered with ease through tiny wires. Withering like gray felt curtains, their muffled hurt kept in, not so neat. Once mercury rolled rubber rage in iron, over as sleeplessness tires. A quickening silver was lost again this day, though glum grasping, gasping pointers of handily towed monkeys clasping like hoarders, every digital exchange, once a nifty nickel, dime or scuffed quarter, now little lightning whores inflicting amnesia like our last sport, or shuffling over paper borders, paperless, so as to cheapen our stores. Dusty dirt clings to shirts, handed down from white to green to brown, once gave grapes a bad name. Those succulents burst purple water. No thirst quench when that wench stench wields water from wine. Whining about water is the most ignorant bother. Please rain, rain, rain. For every drop is a gift. Unglue that privilege enveloping your inner victim. Our glass is aghast, and surely it gasps, half-emptying and expecting, not slowly exposing shores, the sores of thirst. We're bored at best. Obscene excesses to express what depresses a middle-class mind. Plumbed depths, wet expression, under slamming sun. Rock molts. Shins been skinned, hardly limbed. Calcified beer can scum enshrined. Pull that tab, then quaff and laugh. Pulp like an orange in grave revolt. Her knees bend in anagrams of algebra toward the waning waters. Who can calculate their effect? What facts are wrecked when it's dried? We scaled down the scree, wade effortlessly under stingy, searing skies. Why aren't we wet? The plug's been yanked, now lakes must be supplied. Mama laid her head down, sweltering frowns blown on her crown. We all whimpered, tied frog legs to stickers, every pool scrimped dim. No more fishing. Fresh wonder when wishing for golfing instead of rain. Our flesh under duress, no slaking but stress, yet who can recall the clouds?
Thank you.
so much, Nicholas. Good people, we heard No Gravity from Guess What? Railing from Seas of Molten Beeves by Chris Kroeger. Melody by Lydia Kavina. 10th Floor Ghost Girl by Chumamato. Candy Gun by Melt Banana. Misa Fu from Guess What? And finally, another untitled Lalier song. Thank you so much for letting us tour with you. I know my man, I speak on behalf. It was righteous getting to hear you play those different venues, those different situations with, the same pieces, but they were always different and always fresh and alive and a great inspiration. And I know D-Boom would have loved to see, maybe did see you play some gigs. I hope so.
Thank you very much.
And I wish you all the luck. I know you got a gig coming up in Paris, right?
Yeah.
In a big tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best of luck with that. The big red tent we went by, right?
Drove up.
Actually, we drove under it. Is it a circus?
Yeah, it's kind of a circus, experimental circus, kind of.
Wow. Anyway, thanks again. And it's amazing how you don't break strings. I'm totally blown away. Okay, people. It's the first hour of the Watt for Pedro show, April 7, 2014, edition from Ecarus, France. Thanks again, Nicholas.
Thank you very much.
Righteous. April 7th, 2014. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro.
In those historic minutes when the spaceship Vostok was orbiting the Earth, with the first astronaut Yuri Gagarin on board, two-way radio contact was maintained between the Earth and the spaceship. Yuri Gagarin reported back to Earth how he was feeling and how the flight was going on. During these brief communications, the Soviet astronaut sent messages. I see the Earth. Visibility good. I hear you perfectly. And sometime later, the flight is continuing well. I see the Earth. Visibility good. One can see everything. Some space is covered by cumulus cloud. And then again, I'm continuing with the flight. Everything normal. Everything working perfectly. Pressing on. Sometime later, Yuri Gagarin reported again. Feeling well. I'm in good spirits. I'm continuing with the flight. Everything is going well. The machine is working normally. These laconic messages, full of courage and confidence, which already today belong to history, were recorded on tape.
This next tune is all about the serious side of drug addiction and a life destroyed on the streets of a big city in the Midwest. It's a little ballad that was one that Lead Belly. No, wait, it wasn't Lead Belly. It was Sam Cooke. No, it was. Anyway, it's this. It's this real nice, sleazy kind of song that I know some of you will appreciate a lot. This song is called The Immortal Clock on the Old Wall Has No Hands. For those of you that are writing that down, that's no hands. And what? Too much crank. I've heard of worse problems, but now you look in good shape, though, you know, really. 31 grams of crank and still kicking. Incredible. Well, this song goes out to you.
genuine sincerity. Whether you were born or made a menace, your malfeasance offends justice. Whether you were born or made a master, you got sold on chemical bashing. Shadow of a setting sun, he's a wild horse on the run. He can get out of his own way. He's a felon in dismay. Some old and new bad habits. He's become increasingly diminished. The forecast calls for a good chance of pain. He's a felon in the rain. These are the last days of the best of your life. Things might have not been that bad. Whether you were born or made to suffer, you're a felon in a gun, a quart of vodka in his trunk, fuels his unearned sense of entitlement. Why is he afraid of everyone? He knew what friends were. Well, as he prevaricated, so to keep them always waiting, he was recently released from prison.
Watt from Pedro show. Started off the second hour with what we've been playing. A lot of the Guess What. This tune, Lord Jupiter. Then we heard Point Your Pistol to the Sign. To the Sigh. Sorry. By Liars. Night Walk, Dirty Beaches, Dead Cowboy Dance. Live to Ghetto Blast by Alligator Whitefish. There's Tom. Clock with No Hands. Sonic Rendezvous Band. That's Scotty Sound on drums there. Fellow with a Gun by Bucky Pope and Easy Company. And finally, Kedder by Guess What. And in fact, one of the members, Guess What, here now, my great honor, Axel. Thanks so much, Axel, for being on the show. Now we're missing the other man, Damien, because he's on his way to what region of France is he?
Nancy, northeast.
Yeah, what's that called?
Nancy is the place, and Lorraine is the region.
Lorraine. Yeah, and which is really unfortunate because he's a big part of Guess What, actually half, but from Axel here. Sounds like it's not too bad because the man is shy. And he likes to talk with his drums.
He's shyer than shy. He's mute.
He's mute. So, since he ain't here to speak for himself, and we'll get on to Guess What, but I want to know about your music, Jeremy Axel. What's your earliest musical recollection?
Ooh, I remember two things from being very small, because my dad and my mom, both my parents, are musicians into music. They're teachers. Mm-hmm. They're teachers, but they like music and they play music. And I remember, for a start, I remember being given a little toy Casio when I was probably three.
That's a keyboard, people.
A little keyboard, white plastic, which had little funny sounds, and I remember the song Sunday Morning, Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
My dad says I could actually sing it.
So he must have played it.
Not the lyrics, obviously, but like, I was humming.
But he must have played it for you.
Yeah, because
so you had that going on in the house.
Yeah.
Velvet Underground. That's really interesting. When did you start, besides singing, read covers? When did you start actually playing? Well, when they gave you that wide, what happened? Did you just start playing with it, or were you given?
Yeah, I was fiddling with the. Yeah, I was playing.
Did they teach us? Did they were teachers? Or?
They never taught me music because they weren't taught music themselves. Actually, my dad plays guitar and my mom too, but I'm very kind of blues rock and roll.
Yeah.
Playing chords, and they're not technical. Yeah. Musicians, and they never really imposed me anything in terms of music. They never forced me to play an instrument. So I just started playing because I liked it, and I never felt the need of.
Well, how'd you get that Casio? Was it a gift?
I think it was a gift from my parents. Yeah, kind of thing.
So it came from them.
Yeah, it did.
But they didn't say, "Hey, you're going to work this."
No. And they didn't say, "Oh, you've got to learn, you've got to go to piano lessons."
Right.
So I never actually learned music.
Yeah. Well, you learn by doing.
Yeah.
You learn by. You learn by rote, we say.
Okay.
R-O-T-E. You ever hear that? No. Rote's like by doing.
By rote.
Yeah. Not by lessons. Mm-hmm. So when did you start? Well, what came first, copying records?
What came first? Actually, what came first was playing with friends at school, and also playing with my dad when I was 14.
That's right.
And because my dad had a band, and it was a kind of rhythm and blues 60s garage band, and I played organ in the band. And then I finished high school. I went to study, and I met Damien.
Yeah.
And another friend, Antonin, with whom we started the whole Catapult thing. Catapult is the record label that we started. And at the same time, we started Guess What, and we started other bands together with the same guys.
This is right after high school.
Yeah.
So very fertile. Let's play some more music.
Thank you. And I'm wrong.
Titoli di Testa?
Ah, Titoli di Testa, si.
Sì. Sounds like
Italian.
Yeah, Italiano. From guess what?
Yeah.
Xanadu from The Ghost of the Sabretooth Tiger. Head of that was Buzzkill Carol by Wyatt Knight. That's got a buddy of Raoul's, Keith Kevin. Automatic, ahead of that, G.G. Allen the Jabbers. Incredible pioneer in music. Mark Stewart with Nothing is Sacred. And before that, Dagger Moth, Narcissus. She's Italiana. And then we started all off with Kitab Sur Al Ard, which is probably Arabic. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We were saying that after high school, you had this big flowering of starting a label and starting bands.
Yeah.
Why do you think that happened?
Well, I think we were basically studying, me and my friends Damien and Antonin, we were studying the same thing. We were studying sound engineering, but at the same time, it wasn't university, but it was some kind of post-secondary school.
Sure.
But we realized that we preferred playing music than engineering music. Well, we liked it, but it because we were hanging out in the same school and we all lived in flats near to each other, and we just started just doing silly things, actually, just playing around with recording piss takes and silly songs and things, and
but the technical training probably helped you.
Yeah, of course it did.
Because you probably weren't using four track cassettes, right?
No. And it,
what were you using, like the school stuff?
Yeah, well, we had computers at home, but the teachers were showing us how to use Pro Tools. And
Right.
And actually, it's still helping us now because we record and produce our own music still now, and we don't. The good thing is we don't need to depend on
technicians
or expensive studios.
Sure.
That would charge, you know. And it's helped us a lot, actually, to keep making the music we like with a very small budget, which means that we don't have to compromise too much with any sort of pressure.
You can jammy Kano.
Definitely.
So, was there a performance angle on this?
At first, not. The first 2-3 years, we didn't do much live. It was mainly playing around with instruments and computers.
Recording.
And recording stuff. And then, that's when we moved to London. The three of us, we moved to London. And that's when we started playing live. We had a tiny basement in our house we were sharing with some English friends, and it was a big Victorian house with 7 bedrooms and a little basement, and we used the basement for rehearsing.
Yeah.
And little by little we started getting a few small gigs, and that's how it started. And I think guess what kind of started then, really, because we'd done a few recordings before, but nothing that we were really happy with. And then when we started playing live, that's when it sort of started to take shape, and we decided to play some shows and to start maybe working on an album. And that's when we got the idea of the,
so by playing in front of people, it made it more like solid.
Yeah It made it exist more, I think,
because when you record, keeps me in the cloud a little more.
Yeah, and really, I don't believe in like the internet thing of everyone records. Of course, it's good that it's easy to share things, but I think if you want to make something exist, you have to share it.
Perform it.
Yeah, and real moments with people. I think.
Yeah. What about tour?
Tour?
Because you tell me you're doing these gigs around London when you guys moved there. When did you start taking it to different
2008, we started, we did a kind of very DIY tour with kind of shitty gigs in a way, but they were, it was very important for us because we had one or two contacts in France,
yeah.
We had one or two in Italy, and one in Slovenia, and we just did like a week tour, and so maybe six gigs or something. And
well, that's probably your first time playing in France, right? Because you were, except for your pop.
Except for my, yeah, exactly. That was the first time that I took my music and my friends, you know, the music I'd been doing with my friends and with the label. It was the first time we kind of came back home and said, okay, that's, you know, that's the music we'll do now.
Wow.
That's strange.
No, I mean, things happen the way they happen because mm-hmm. that's the way it happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different ways. That's one reason why I like people to talk about their music journey on my show, because I want to show folks there ain't one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's as many ways as there's thumbprints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, actually, when we started releasing the music on Catapult, on the record label, slowly people contacted us saying, "Oh, I know the record. Do you play live, and do you want to come to our city?"
Interesting.
You know?
So they became like flyers for the gigs.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the end of the second hour, April 7, 2014, edition Juan Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three.
Okay.
April 7, 2014, it's third hour, Juan Pedro Show.
When the weather is Thank you.
Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with Meteor Belt. With the Meteor Belt 1000.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't tell me that was the title. Because me and my missing men had great fortune of getting to do a version of the song. Well, maybe it wasn't the 1000 version. Maybe this was the 300.
There's a 500 version and a 1000 version. But the one we play live is a mix of the two. So.
But then the one we did with you was a version of that, right? You cut stuff out, so maybe it was like the 150
version.
Yeah,
something like that.
Then we heard Tommy Dossi with Socrates That Practices Music. No, the song's Tommy Dossi. The band is Socrates That Practices Music.
Wow.
Good name. Cats can flow me music, and I go by... not always the band name or the song name. I go by what I hear. And a lot of interesting stuff. Superpowered by Droop Mofez. Stoma with Liftoff. And finally, Parachute by Guess What. Like I said, I got to, along with Tom and Raul, do 45. Not really. When did we start doing it together? Two-thirds of the way through?
Yeah.
So maybe 15 times we got to do... Meteor Belt 150 with Guess What, and then they would join us with some Minutemen like Heart in the Real World and Retreat, and it was always a surprise on the audience. They didn't know it was coming. And actually I finally learned the song, your song, towards the end there. First ones were like whew. But we've been playing a number of songs from this thing here, the album that's from, and it's all around this man, Yuri
Gagarin.
For you people who are a little younger, this man was a cosmonaut. He was the first, actually, human being into space.
Mm-hmm.
And not just into space, but he also did an orbit.
Yeah.
Unlike the first two U.S. guys, he just went up. And I think Mr. Shepard, he pissed his pants. He was sitting up on the rocket so long, and he hadn't figured that out. It's only a 15-minute flight or something. So he had to do it in his urine, soiled in his urine. But, what's the story on that?
About Yuri Gagarin, album? The thing is, we started, Guess What, with the idea that the music would have something to do with space and with science fiction and space conquest and all these things. And Damien, the drummer, found a good sound sample of the words that Yuri Gagarin said when he was in space, in Vostok, in his spaceship. And there was the speech in Russian by Yuri Gagarin and a translation in English. So all audio, old 1961 recordings.
Yeah.
And we used that that sample on stage for the first maybe couple of years. We used that sample of Yuri Gagarin speaking to Earth. and we thought, why not just make a whole album about Yuri Gagarin and just use the theme as a sort of inspiration for other instrumental tunes that for us remind of the 60s space, you know, how people in the 60s had this fantasy about going into space and discovering planets.
It wasn't just that, because I was there. I was part of those people, because I was born in 57, maybe 4 years before.
Yeah.
And it was a race.
Space race.
It was a race. It was trippy.
USSR against
the US. Yeah. And their thing was so secret. So he was kind of exotic. We knew hardly anything about their thing. Mm. It seemed like we let everybody know about ours. But I don't think that was all the way true.
Yeah.
So here's some more tunes. Thank you.
jackals, hyenas, the hawks and things, the moths, stories, archetypes and themes, throughout time, each day, each year, the same home, the same fear, those that don't speak, those that don't hear, without a mouth, without a head, without their teeth, without their feet, without a brain removed from sin.
Back with Watt for Pedro show. Guest Axel from Guess What? Talking about Space Race. You just heard No Gravity for Yuri. Guess what? Before that was Village in Ruin by Zuccotti. Shop Drop, King Champion Science, King Champion Sounds ahead of that. I think they're Dutch. Zuccotti's got three Italian guys. And start all off with Out of Range by Guess What? So by having something to focus on, because you're an instrumental band, you could have a tema, huh? A theme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what do you, for you, what, the organ has kind of a 60s sound?
Well, this organ, yeah, it does, and but I don't really think about it in that way.
Okay.
It's just that I like that organ, that Korg organ, for its analog sound, which with the drawbars, you know, you can make your own sound.
Right.
And like there's kind of warm.
What about with the combination of this other keyboard, melodica?
Ah, well, I just think it's nice.
Because there's not a lot of cats out there doing that.
Yeah, well, it has two reasons to that, I think, for the use of the melodica on stage. Is one is to have wind sound.
Yeah.
To have a
kind of a voice.
Yeah. I think it gives a bit more life to the overall sound.
Right. Contrast nice with the
contrast, yeah, with the percussion and
the organ.
Yeah. Electronic sounds. So it's more acoustic and more body related. And the other reason is that it's again an econo thing. Melodica is a very cheap instrument,
right? Because they're wind powered.
And
people, there are a keyboard that has a hose that you stick in your mouth and you blow these things.
Mm-hmm. It's very practical, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. It's small, it's light, it's cheap. You can blow in the pipe if you don't
want
to. You
gotta get a new one, right?
I might do.
This is key.
Yeah.
It's giving you trouble on the last
thing. Unless I can fix it, I don't know if it's fixable.
Okay, play some more music.
First time I saw you there, when I looked in your eyes, how could we have ever known you'd be so paralyzed? And now the days they go passing by, you don't know my name. It's another lost heartache, and it's always the same. Stare out the window all day, well, all the thoughts in your head speak a word that you cannot say. Lying there in your bed, you were caught in the line of fire, at the wrong place at the wrong time. Now it's another lost heartache, and the pain, it's all mine. Now the food, it's there to your face, and there's a scrap, it's across your chin. It's another lost heartache, one that we'll never win. Now the life has gone out of your eyes, and your skin's turning gray. They've turned off the power tonight. Now you can't get away. The other night you had so much life, but then that cop he pulled out his gun. Now wherever you've gone to is where we all come from. The other night you had so much life, I can't believe that you've gone away. It's another lost heartache, and that's the way it will stay. Oh, yeah. All right. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Our last music for this edition started with Plane Crash. But guess what? Another heartache, another lost heartache from Greg Turner. You know about him?
From who?
Greg Turner.
No,
used to write for Cream Magazine, played guitar in the Angry Samoans. He teaches calculus in college in New Mexico.
Okay.
Good cat. The extract with Wap May, they're Canadian. And then finally, Complete the Square, but guess what? A Plane Crash. The Yuri Gagarin album kind of ends sad, right? Because his life did. He only got to fly once.
Yeah. And the death is a bit of a mystery, I think. Because it says that he just... what you read about Yuri Gagarin is that he had a plane crash with his MiG-15 at the end, in 68, I think. And that they found the body but there's other people that say that there was something more than an accident, and it's kind of understandable, or you can understand why there's controversy with the whole space race and secret, and you know, probably some people wanted him to be out of the
picture
maybe for political reasons. And
yeah.
So yeah, the plane crash.
He was a simple guy, right? Did he come from like a peasant family?
Yeah. He was from a very humble background. And, very short guy.
Right.
So he could fit in the cockpit.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They needed little guys to fit in the spacecraft themselves. I remember they would be ahead in everything. They'd have the first man, first dog.
First
lady for spacewalk. They were always ahead, and then it stumbled. Their program stumbled, and I found out later why. You don't know how they pushed it in the schools.
No.
I was in the grade school then, and they pushed the space race on us so heavy.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, we would watch TV. They'd have a man dressed as an astronaut. This is Mercury, right? Our first orbit guys. And yeah, there'd be a clock next to him, and you see his face. He wasn't the real guy. And he would just watch us for hours and hours, because everybody was just, you know, it was like, wow. He writes about it being exciting and stuff. You know, it was really. And then all this mysterious stuff. All of a sudden, news had come out, and they'd done this, and there'd be proof. It wasn't like it was all bullshit. And we'd be like, oh, we got to rally and get up, catch back up. I remember we landed on the moon. They didn't. And it was all over.
Mm-mm.
It was a couple more moon missions, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Then there was a space lab, and we actually kind of did with them. It got kind of international, but it fizzled big time.
Yeah, yeah.
All that stuff of the 60s, just to share with you.
But it's true that there wasn't much after that, really. Just some satellites.
I think the Chinese might get to the moon again before we do. We got plans, I heard. They're definitely going to put a guy up there soon.
Yeah.
I think they used kind of former Soviet technology in their
space program.
You know, they call them taikonauts. I think other people call them taikonauts because I think that's space in Chinese.
Okay.
What's your next plans for, guess what, you and Damien?
So the next plan is, we've just finished recording an album on Al-Khwarizmi, who was one of the inventors of modern mathematics, so algebra and equations.
Yeah, sure.
And we picked this guy because he was
zero. Right, the number zero.
Number zero,
was an incredible invention.
Yeah.
The Roman, if you try to multiply and divide with that system, it's like, because the numbers are spelled like words.
Yeah.
But the idea of having a matrix of holding place, it was like hugely.
Yeah. Yeah, so we picked this guy because there's always been for a start, because he was an astronomer too. He was into space observation.
Yeah.
And trying to understand the stars and geography and using Astrolab, what do you call it?
Yeah, well, our last gig.
Mm-hmm. And also because we've been listening to a lot of music from the Middle East and North Africa, and so we thought it'd be a good combination, the space thing and our new influences from Middle East and Arabic culture. And,
where'd you record it, London?
We recorded that in France and some bits in London, but most of it in my hometown, Chambéry.
Okay.
That's a good studio. Run by. Kind of family-run studio, let's say.
Okay. So different than the last experience.
Well, Yuri was...
It was done there too.
That too, yeah.
Also, after you start doing those gigs back in France, you start recording there also?
Yeah. Maybe the year after... 2009, I think we started. Because there's a studio we can pretty much use for, not for free, but for, you know, like...
What do they say in England? Pittance.
Mm.
A pittance.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
You don't say that much.
So it's a French word, I think.
Really?
Pittance.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, being on tour with you guys, we've learned so many of our words we share with you. We just say them all.
So yeah,
speaking of big tours, was this your biggest one here?
First 45
gigs?
First long tour, yeah.
Okay.
Never toured more than 2.5-3 weeks.
Okay.
And so this was the first 6 week
tour. Big Daddy.
Yeah.
So,
with new
you recorded right before?
A few months ago.
Oh, a few months ago. So when's it going to come out?
Hopefully this summer. Hopefully.
Summer.
Yeah.
And what, touring?
I don't think we'll be able to tour until... December, January, I think, because we've got things lined up
with
our other bands, and we're going to do a kind of September, October. There's a kind of community. Well, it's a festival in Hamburg that's involving musicians from different countries, but we're going to be working with immigrants in Hamburg.
Yeah.
So from different backgrounds, trying to make music. Music performance and theater, music for theater and stuff. That's going to take 2 months.
Wow,
out of
interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Same thing is going to be the first project like
that.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, dive in, like they say. And, you know, when I get a chance, I want to bring in, let the U.S. people see, because you put on a great fucking gig.
That would be amazing.
I was very impressed. And, you got to pick the region. But
Regions. Well, we've got.
You got some ideas.
You guys should recommend the ones you like too.
I like it all over. Mm. Everybody's got something to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And God, to get to do 18 gigs in France.
Yeah.
I only do that with Stooges. It's the first time I got to do something like that. So, in the name of Damien, we're speaking in your presence here, but thanks so much, Axel, for talking with me.
Mm.
And people. You heard a lot of the guess what here, but their life thing is different. But I'm glad they make records too.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's all part of the same deal. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And being a guest.
Yeah.
And I mean, we got to go to England and continue on, and then you guys,
get
this album.
It's been a pleasure anyway.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the. And there's Graham Mushkin stuff. Mushnik.
Yeah, and that's
which is a solo thing.
Yeah.
But where on the web can they go?
Catapultrecords.com.
Catapult
is spelled with an E at the end.
CatapultE
Records.com. Yeah.
People, it's been April 7, 2014 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Some French ambience. Keep your powder dry.